Yeah, it's an ongoing journey. And the thing that I've learned is I'm never going to be perfect and
Yes.
I'm not
Yeah,
going
that's right.
to crack the actual code. It's like it's a game for me now.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I have with me a really beautiful guest, Claire Elizabeth Deer, who is a self-help junkie turned international performance artist, speaker, author, and has been transforming her imperfections into art, laughter, and inspiration. Over the past 25 years, Claire has graced stages all around the world, empowering thousands of people to unleash their creative expression with her magic. She's been featured on various TV shows, documentaries, films, and media platforms, and she's celebrated for her unique blend of singing, comedy, and storytelling, diving deep into her personal story of transforming shame into beauty. Claire, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on, lovely.
Oh, thank you so much, Phoebe. It feels like such a long time since we've actually seen each other in person. It is so amazing to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the podcast.
It's so good to have you. And even though I haven't seen you in person for like, I think over a year, I love following your journey and I love seeing your stuff on social media. Whenever people come across your performances, including myself, I think it always either brings us a bit of laughter or there's entertainment, and you're so good at just transforming stories and experiences that are so common and real in life, but yet you gracefully turn it into something that is entertaining. And so I wanted to get you to share with our audience a little bit about your story, because not everyone's had the privilege of hearing about it and being able to see you perform on stage.
Okay, well, it feels like there's so many stories to share, so I'll try and find the right stories to share with your audience today. Firstly, I think a really pivotal part of my journey was that my dad got retrenched when I was 8 years of age, and I all of a sudden found myself busking for a living to actually pay for my dance classes. My parents told me that they could no longer afford to pay for my dance classes. So my inner entrepreneur got born, and there I was at the Ivanhoe Shopping Centre playing my recorder, playing Hot Cross Buns and Mary Had a Little Lamb, had a green ice cream bucket with a sign saying I'm busking to pay for my dance classes. And my mum made sure that we dressed me up poor so that I got more money. But I just learned from a really early age that you can make money doing what you love. And so I did that from the age of 8 to 16, and really following my heart to be a dancer and to be a performer. But at the age of 15, my first Wicked Witch — I love the Wizard of Oz, so I always love the Wicked Witch analogy — came about when I only popped out one boobie. So I was born with something called Poland syndrome. So my left-hand side of my body is smaller than the right. I was born without my left pec, so my left breast never developed. And I'm sure that your audience out there can relate to being a teenager and feeling like all you want to do is fit in and belong. And I just felt like one boob freak. So I decided that I was going to keep this a secret. I was not going to let anyone know. So my lunch times was all about filling up my left side of my bra with tissues and making sure that my boobies looked even. When I went on dates with men, I made sure that at the movies, they were sitting on the left-hand side and I was sitting on the right-hand side. So when they put their arm around to cop a feel, they only could cop a feel of the good booby. I didn't want anyone to know that I wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Because for me, prima ballerina was all about looking symmetrical, looking beautiful. And so I went on this journey where I was in a relationship with a man, Phoebe, for 4 years. And we never talked about it. It was the elephant in the room. And it wasn't until I actually started learning acting, where you would think that acting is actually all about being a character other than yourself. But in acting class, I really learned that it was about being authentic and being true to yourself and really embracing all these infinite parts within us. And so that was when I started on my journey of being honest and started to actually tell men that I was dating that I had a fake breast. Because, yes, I did pop out one real one, but the tissues did end up getting replaced with a silicone. But yeah, I still felt really ashamed. I still felt, even though I looked normal with clothes on now, I still didn't feel normal. The voices in my head hadn't changed, and I still felt like a freak and still had issues of feeling like I didn't belong and fit in. And so it wasn't really into this journey of acting and then going into personal development where I really learned that owning your authentic voice was the way to start transforming shame and moving into what your heart really, really wanted to create. So that's where I started off as a child that really wanted to be a performer and got told at a young age that she wouldn't be able to do her dance classes. Got my entrepreneur on and then started making money. But then I started to hide myself because I'd only popped up this one breast. And so I just wasn't living an authentic life. So it's only been over this sort of last 10-year period where I've written a book and I started performing shows, sharing my story, that I feel like I'm actually living a life that's true to my heart and true to who I am.
Wow. Claire, in my eyes, I feel like you have inspired so many people through opening up about your story and you share about it on stage. And I've seen people tear up. I've teared up in your shows. I've been to, I think, like four or five of your shows now. I remember one was in, I think, Gold Coast even. And you've got this unique ability to like entertain, make everyone feel really good. But then share and inspire others to step out and share their stories. How did you get to that point? Like you mentioned, it's been in the last 10 years, but what was the inner work that you did that's helped you to really like accept, embrace, and turn it around and come out to make this a gift that you enjoy doing and make money from as well?
Well, yeah, I mentioned that I learned an acting technique and going to acting class. I actually trained as an actor in London and I brought that acting craft back to Melbourne and I opened up a business called Meisner Melbourne, which was an acting school. And it was all about teaching creatives, artists, coaches, entrepreneurs how to be authentic and how to really own their authentic voice. But hilariously, I still wasn't telling my story. So here I was teaching everyone else out there how to be authentic, but I wasn't fully yet telling my story. And I don't feel like it is everyone's journey just to straight away just share with the world all of their vulnerabilities because you can have a shame hangover for a long time. So my journey was actually seeing a really good psychotherapist. And my psychotherapist taught a technique called voice dialogue. And voice dialogue was all about learning and embracing all parts of who you are. So all your different archetypes. So the very first archetype that I met was a spiritual guru, and she was my protector. And I'd spent so many years researching Abraham Hicks, Louise Hay, Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer. But actually, my personal development journey made me put on this protective mask that I was some kind of spiritual guru and that I had all the answers. But actually, it was just protecting me from actually feeling all of my emotions, all of the rage, all of the embarrassment, all of the grief that I hadn't fully processed. So I created this mask and this entity. And so that's why then in my shows, I create all of these really fun comedy spiritual characters because they're actually all protectors of our emotions. I think it's important that we have these characters that protect us and look after us, But we also have to learn how to not hold on to them too tightly and
Yeah.
to be able to just share our authentic voice. And so I thought that my authentic voice was all of these gurus' voices, like Louise Hay, like Abraham Hicks. And I had one partner one time, and he's like, I don't know who I'm dating, Claire Elizabeth D or Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
And so that was the start of the journey. It was working with my therapist to actually find my own voice. Because, yes, we can be influenced by the gurus, we can be influenced by business coaches, we can be influenced by podcasters, by content creators. But at the end of the day, we've got to find what's actually true for you. And my first step was actually slowly coming out with my authentic story, which was my journey of Pollen syndrome. And so, yes, I started by sharing it with partners, and then I started sharing it with my therapist. And then I started slowly talking about it on podcasts and on a stage. But Phoebe, I think the defining moment for me when I felt fully free to share my story was actually a speaking event I did. It was my second time ever speaking on stage about my personal story. And I asked all the audience if someone would like to come up on the stage and do an exercise with me. And everyone put up their hand. And in the front row, there was just this aura about one of the girls sitting in the front row of this personal development workshop. And she just really glowed. And so I invited her to come onto the stage with me. She did this exercise, and then I gave her a cheeky gift at the end. I gave her like access to a workshop that I was doing in the future. And then she came up to me at the end of the event and she whispered in my ear, I've got Pollen syndrome too, and I'm
Wow.
sold. And that was the first woman, Phoebe, that I've ever met in my life that also had Pollen syndrome. And so
Wow.
she was a woman close to my age. She was also an actress living in Melbourne. And I'm like, oh my goodness, for the first time, I'm realizing I'm not alone. I'm also seeing that there are other people just like me that are feeling scared to talk about this because they feel so isolated and they feel like a freak. And what's blown my mind is how much this particular woman has now gone and built this life that she loves. She's also a content creator now. And her journey hasn't been like mine, which has been creating content around having Pollen syndrome. She's an amazing makeup artist. But the thing is that by her actually having this safe space to be able to share her story and not feel alone, she's
Yeah.
been able to follow her heart and create the life and shine in her authentic expression. And it's just made me so proud that I don't want to ever stop doing this. I want to forever be telling my story, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's on a stage, whether it's part of a workshop, whether it's literally at the bus stop with a stranger if it comes up. Like, I just don't know who out there has this syndrome and needs to hear this. And it's not even just about having this particular syndrome, because I've had people that are gay and being raped and all different things come and contact me and say, thank you for sharing your story. You have permission to share
Yeah.
mine. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about actually
Yeah.
coming together and seeing that no matter what race we are, where we've come from, we all have shames. We all have things that we hide, and we have to work together to actually help ourselves bring our stories and our authentic expression out into the world.
Yeah. I totally agree. Like, I think I've got tingles from what you're saying. It's so powerful to come out and share your story because it enables others to do the same and it validates other people's experiences and it tells people that they're not alone. Like, there are other people that have experienced something different, but something similar. There might be areas that they've gone through their own journey, but I would say there's a lot of brilliance in the way we can connect with others through story sharing, and it really empowers and it gives people an opportunity to do the same. You are now working on all this amazing stuff that relates to money because There's a lot of things that hold us back when it comes to money that relate to shame, right? A lot of the time, if we're not making money or vibing high, and if we're not making money in the way that we think we're supposed to, there's shame, there's guilt, there's all sorts of stuff. And you now help people with that, which is amazing. You've also manifested Aussie and your dream partner. You've gotten married. You have started building your business together as well. Can you please tell us a little bit about the money archetypes and the workshops that you're doing and how that relates to how we feel about ourselves or our own unique identities?
Well, I think firstly, I need to go back about 8 years when I was single and I was unhappily single. I was really yearning for a partner, and out in the world in business, I was looking successful. And from the outside, everyone would have thought I was really happy and living an abundant life. And actually, behind the curtains, I was really, really wanting a partner. And I also was really stressed about money. And it's so funny that we put on these facades, especially like on social media. Just what I was sharing with the world made me look like I was really successful and abundant, but that isn't the truth of what was really happening within me. And it wasn't until I actually met my partner. Now, I do believe that all this work I've done with transforming shame, coming out with my story, and feeling so much more peace with my body and myself really helped me to attract in my soul partner. But that's the thing, is when you find your soul partner, they are going to bring out all of your shadows. And so when I started to actually date Aussie, I didn't at the start realize that he was a Bitcoin king and he had lots of money in the bank saved, and he was just really good with money. But I didn't know that, because a lot of the time people with money don't actually flaunt that they've got a lot of money. And the way that he dressed and the way he lived, I really had no idea. And it wasn't until we started getting more serious and we started having more conversations, like, let's talk about moving in together, that he was saying things like, well, let's look at our bank balances and let's see how much money we have. And it wasn't until then that the real shame hit, because I knew that I was in a lot of debt. And I didn't know how much debt I was in, but I knew I was in a lot of debt. And I had to then share with him that I was actually financially in a really challenging spot. Now, I think he knew, like, that things weren't as great as maybe they looked on social media. But it wasn't until I actually got really transparent and honest and I shared that I was actually in $109,000 of debt. And I was so afraid that he was going to run away, because he was in such a place really just to buy a house and have a baby and get his life going, in the way that he wanted. And I thought, oh God, like, I'm just going to hold him back. But thank goodness that a miracle happened, and I actually found myself, because a friend invited me out to a Vietnamese dinner, I found myself in a financial recovery room. So my friend had invited me out for Vietnamese dinner. And then she said, oh, I go to this money workshop on a Friday night. Like, you could come to that first before we go to this Vietnamese dinner. And I love myself some personal development. I mean, I'm a self junkie. So I was like, yeah, take me to the money workshop. Not even really addressing within myself that maybe I need some help with money, but I was like, just give me the personal development workshop. Now, I didn't even realize when I was walking into the room that I was actually walking into a 12-step recovery program, and it was just a recovery program for money. And I never knew this existed. I knew that there was a like Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew there was programs for drugs and gambling and all the things, but no idea for money, like people that are in a lot of debt, people that have shopping addictions, all that jazz. And so here I was walking into this room. It was this little tiny community room, Phoebe, where I was so used to, like, the big rah-rah Tony Robbins events or the really spiritual, sacred rooms. And this was just this tiny little community room that kind of smelt funny. But I felt God in my body in a way that I'd never experienced before. Now, I'm not religious, but I definitely have my own sense of spirituality. And I'd never felt this just feeling of peace and groundedness before. And I didn't realize that it was showing me that if I follow some financial recovery tools, I can change my life. And that's exactly then what happened is that for 7 years, I went on this financial recovery journey. I started dating money. I started having an intimate relationship with money. I found my man, and now it was time to start dating money. And
Wow.
so by getting really clear with my numbers, so literally every day looking at my bank accounts, tracking my numbers, actually being honest with where I was, and actually then creating goals that were realistic and following intuitive nudges from my heart, I was able to slowly and steadily get rid of the debt while also not depriving myself. Because that's the thing is
Yeah.
most people hear, well, if you're in debt, you should just stop living a life you love and just pay off the debt. But that actually just puts more focus onto creating more debt. We need to actually have an equal focus between paying off our debt, living in our present moment, and also saving for our future. Our past self, our future self, and our present self are equally important. And so that's the journey that I was on, was actually slowly paying off my debt while also saving money, while also spending money on my essentials for the now. And so by doing that, I cleared my debt. I started to just miraculously start creating my dream career. I had always wanted to be a performance artist, but I just couldn't crack the Hollywood code. Like, I just don't think I was right for Hollywood. I don't think I was meant for Broadway. What's happened is that I've actually created my own unique performing career that embodies my love of musical theater, of stand-up comedy, and inspirational speaking. And I've merged and married them together to create an art form that I haven't seen anyone else do. And so, as you know, because you have seen shows both here in Melbourne and in the Gold Coast, is that I travel around Australia now. And I could only do that because I started creating this healthy relationship with money. Because the thing is, when you're sitting in so much debt and so much vagueness, you can't hear the true call of your heart towards what you want to create with money. You may be able to hear your intuition around other areas of life, but if you're not clear and congruent with your money, your intuition isn't going to take you in the direction that you need. And so that's what happened, was that I started following my heart. I started having a really intimate, loving relationship with money. And about 2.5 years ago, I sort of hit a plateau because I traveled around Australia and I got engaged and I paid off my debt and just everything was just sort of feeling like, what's next? And I got this Facebook ad, good old social media. I got this Facebook ad with this quiz about what is your money archetype. And so I did this quiz, thought nothing much of it. And then a week later, I had this intuitive hit to watch Free Willy on Netflix. So the movie that maybe you watched when you were 10 years of age, Bringing the Whale. And I said to Oz at about 10 p.m., we need to watch Free Willy. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. My intuition just says we need to watch it. So we watched it. And at the end of the movie, when they're freeing Willie, inspiration just talks to me and says, Claire Elizabeth D, you need to be a sacred money archetypes coach. And it just felt so true in my being. And it made so much sense because
How?
not only had I been working on my money stuff for the past 5 years at that point, but I had been teaching actors about archetype work for years. I had been at that point 10 years working with my psychotherapist around all things archetypes and parts of self and internal family systems. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a way that I can bring performing and character work together with money to actually make it fun. Because that was the thing is that I have a lot of women, especially, that come and work with me. And they think that money work's quite boring and taxing, or they're just naive and ignorant, and they want to find a way to make money work fun. And so, Phoebe, in the Sacred Money Archetypes framework, there's eight money archetypes. And so there's the romantic, the accumulator, the celebrity, the ruler, the nurturer, the connector, the alchemist, and the maverick. And so we find that everyone has all of these archetypes within us. However, there's usually three that are our dominant archetypes. And when we actually really understand the strengths of those archetypes and then the weaknesses of them, we then can start to actually attract and magnetize money in a way that's actually authentic to us. And usually your partner or your best friend or your mum, your dad has different unique wealth codes. And so they don't attract money in the way that you do. And so what's really fun now is that I share this money quiz, and your audience is more than welcome to do it. And it's free. We can leave a link for them. They can find it on my Instagram, on my website, all the places. And what they can do is they can actually find out what their main money archetypes are from the quiz. And I've just recently written a free ebook called Wealth Codes, where people can actually then learn more about their money archetypes. And for people that aren't readers, I've also created an online workshop that's free on my website as well. And so if anyone wants to go to my website, claireelizabethd.com, they can actually find the quiz, they can find the free workshop, and it just gives them this chance to learn more about who they are and how they operate around money. And I'm telling you, Phoebe, this work has totally transformed my love life, because
Wow.
now I know the archetypes that Oz is primarily, and I'm the total opposite. We've started to craft our life together as partners, with me really using my primary archetypes predominantly in the relationship and him using his. And then we've also created a course together called Making Money Sacred, where we actually help each archetype understand the practical tools needed to actually thrive. Because we find that a lot of people either really love the energetic archetype, high vibe kind of work, but they don't want to get into the actual practicality and the practical tools. And then we find that there's people that love the practical tools, but find all the other stuff really woo-woo and airy-fairy. And we find that there's value in all of it. So I feel like we're the only online out there where we really bring all of them together, like all of the energetics with the archetypes, along with spiritual principles and manifestation tools from your heart, but also the down and dirty practical money tools. Like, they're just the everyday things, like brushing your teeth, that you need to do to create this loving relationship with money. So I feel so excited that we've run two live versions of it, and then we've recorded it now into an evergreen program. And so that means now that anyone at any time can actually do the program, and they get 365 days access to the program. And for the first 8 weeks, they actually have the chance to ask me any questions that come up. So they get 8 weeks of support to really encourage people to like dive into it, but then they have the content for a year. And the reason we don't do lifetime access is because we don't want people to wait a lifetime to do the work. So that's why we encourage people to do it straight away, or at least within that year, because we want people to have a healthy, peaceful relationship with money as soon as possible. So I've just seen my love life thrive. I've seen my career thrive by bringing all of these pieces together. And so now I'm just really excited that, thanks to technology and internet and social media, it's just really easy now for us to be able to share this to so many more people.
That's amazing. And I'm so grateful that you've shared that. So, for the listeners, we will put all these links in the show notes and make sure that you check out Claire's website. Definitely get the quiz, get your hands on. I love free quizzes. So, I think that's something that so many people will get so much value from. And there's so much power in knowing what our strengths and our weaknesses are, right? So, I know for myself, for example, I have a tendency to feel guilty when I spend money. I remember this year was the first year I flew business class. I flew it to my speak to Bangkok, and then again I upgraded on my way back. It was a big step. So I was like, oh my gosh, do I deserve this? And I think sometimes how we grow up, because I'm similar to you, I grew up where our family were very, very humble. My mom and dad were migrants. They worked very hard to be able to buy property and invest. And I learned from a very young age to invest and save. And so I think that's definitely been a thing for me.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got an accumulator money archetype going on. So the accumulator really does find it hard to spend money and can feel guilty because the accumulators absolutely love to save money. Like there's actually that part of you that's like, I just want to feel secure and
Yes.
safe with exactly where I am right now. And that is obviously really common. Like my partner, again, has that similar story, came from a different country. Parents had nothing. But ironically, he and his brother, who both came, they're similar age, both came from Israel to Melbourne, and one at 6 and one at 8. And you would think that growing up in that family, that they would be similar with similar money archetypes, but they're not. So Oz has a huge accumulator and he absolutely loves to save, while his brother is a huge romantic and is always spending his money on things to make himself feel more comfortable or more pleasured. And so, ironically, it's not actually, you can be influenced by your family, but actually, your organic money archetypes might not be the same as your mom, as your dad, as your brother, as your sister. And that's why the quiz is really great to do. And what I also love to get people to do is to get a partner or a best friend or a roommate or someone who knows you really well to answer the quiz for you because you might have blind spots.
And
And
beliefs.
I love having some couples that come and do the course together and they do the quiz for each other. And sometimes they get really different answers. And so that then just creates more honest communication. And that's what the quiz is about. Like at the end of the day, like there's no quiz with like with 100% accurate results. The quiz is about starting the talk, like to actually start having the conversations about money because money is still such a taboo topic. It's not something, unless you're a money coach, people don't talk about money on social media. And people in general don't talk about money unless you're actually in a crew of people where that's just everyone's really highest value and that's all they pretty much talk about. It's because it is so taboo. And so that's been such a big journey for me, going from someone who lived in denial and had no idea about anything about money to actually coming out and just sharing authentically over the years my journey with money. Like, literally, the first day I ever shared on social media about money was, oh, I'm going to start tracking my numbers. And I didn't even talk about my financial recovery program at the start. I literally was just like, oh, I went to this cool workshop and I'm going to start tracking my numbers. And within 6 weeks of me talking about money online, I started getting all these speaking gigs about money. And I'm like, what's happening? Like, I'm in $109,000 of debt and everyone wants me to talk about money. And so I found that actually the journey for me was going to these speaking engagements and being honest and transparent about where I was, and so many people could relate. And what's really exciting is now being 6, 7 years later and actually seeing how much my life actually has changed by having this balance of practical, spiritual, and creative money tools.
So, Claire, can someone go from being a particular archetype to being more of something else? Or do they always predominantly have that one archetype? It's just that they bring on other ones along the journey.
Yeah, I like to see archetypes like a baseball team, and you like they're all players, and we need all of them. But some of them just sit on the bench for most of the game, and some are out there batting, and some are there pitching, and some are on third base and second base. And yeah, and then what we want is us to be the coach of our archetypes and actually make sure that we learn about all of them because they are all within us. And you will look throughout your life and you'll see that there were times that you were more favoring one archetype to another. And that might have been because who you were hanging around with at the time. However, what we find is that when you are in your deepest dysfunctions or when you're just fully in your heart's glory, you will go to those top one to three and predominantly keep playing out them. So my top are the romantic, celebrity, and connector. And so the romantics are all about spending money on pleasure and comfort. Like I don't care that it's 23 degrees outside. I still got my heater on. And I don't care that I'm paying money for it because I want to feel comfortable in my house while my partner, who's an accumulator, is like, turn off the damn heater. Let's save money. And so that's my romantic. My celebrity money archetype is all about spending money to help my image. So I definitely love spending money on clothes and spray tans and hair. But actually, the way it's manifested for me was that so I stood out in my industry, I overspent on personal development and business. Because I thought to be able to stand out, I had to be perfect. And that meant I had to do as many courses as I could. But that would be just the shadow of my celebrity money archetype playing out. And so my other one is the connector, which actually makes most of their money and opportunities through their community, through their connections, whether their connections is their family or their friends or their colleagues. I find that as a connector archetype, I can post literally anything on Facebook saying, like, I'm looking for a house, I'm looking for this. And always my community is there to help me. And so that's what connector money archetypes can do. They can really utilize that they've got this amazing community around them, especially now thanks to social media. And we can ask each other to help each other out. Yeah. So when we actually learn that each archetype has a strength and has shadows, we can then be aware, when am I playing out my shadows and how can I use these to my strength? Like, because my romantic money archetype loves a spa and I don't want to quit the spas. And I find out a lot of the time when I'm sitting in my spa, just enjoying it, people buy my courses, like, and people are buying tickets to my show just while I'm enjoying the spa. And that makes sense for a romantic money archetype. But that doesn't mean that the person listening to this is a romantic money archetype and going and having lots of spas is going to help them create wealth. Because that's what we see on social media, is we see a lot of romantic celebrity archetypes all in the spas and going to the mansions and doing all the things. But if that's not actually authentic to you, you're going to just waste a whole lot of money. So you've got to really learn what is authentic for you and how you authentically express those archetypes. Because the way that I express a romantic money archetype might be very different to the way someone else does.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense though because there's less resistance. So you're not kind of like in this lack mindset where you're trying to make money and you're trying to force it. In actual fact, money comes when we're not in resistance to it. And so it makes sense that when you're having a spa day and you're treating yourself, or for me, it might be when I'm out in nature with my dog and I'm not really sitting behind a computer or like making cold calls. That's when I get text messages and emails and people like, yeah, I want to do your program, or I want to get take up your audit, or I need your services, and referrals come through. I do agree that we don't necessarily have to extravagantly spend in order to make money and to, I guess, manifest wealth, but it's important that we are obviously like wise about it, and we know what are our strengths and our shadows, and that we can continuously have more self-awareness to improve.
And it's all about balance, isn't it? Like, for example, if I just spent every day, all day getting massages and spas and watching Netflix, like with the heater on, like I'm not going to be booking lots of work because no one will know about my work because I'm too busy being in my spa. And so that's the whole thing is finding this balance. And yeah, it's an ongoing journey. And the thing that I've learned is I'm never going to be perfect and I'm going to crack the actual code. It's like it's a game for me now. And I just do the habits that really help me out. So, for example, meditating, I do my singing practice. Yeah, going and taking my dog for a walk, having a spa, tracking my numbers, and showing up just to my business, Monday to Friday in a way, because I work for myself. And as a performer and facilitator, I've got to take my business as seriously as if I was a doctor or a dentist. And that's the whole thing is really taking ourselves as artists and entrepreneurs really, really seriously. And so, yeah, when I very first read My Money Archetype, I was like, oh, well, I'm a romantic. So, yes, I'm going to manifest through spas and massages, which is true to an extent. But yeah, I still got to show up. And
And
I
do the
think show
work.
up in ways that feel good. Like, I love having, as a connector, money archetype, I love having conversations. And so, for example, doing this podcast just feels like a great way to spend my time because I get to connect with you and I get to talk about things I'm passionate about and hopefully get to help people that are listening to the podcast.
Yeah, and you get to promote what you do as well. Claire, I have one last question to ask you, and then we're going to go into the rapid fire questions, which is just the five questions that I ask most of my guests.
I love rapid
Awesome. I do want to address a post that you shared, which was so vulnerable. And I remember reading it one day and I was like, go, you go, girl, for like putting that out there. And that was the pushback that you got when you had, I think it was someone that had downloaded a free resource or something and didn't like that you promoted your business,
fire.
which is very odd because most ebooks,
Old school.
most like I'm a marketer, so I'm just going to say it. If you don't have a lead magnet and you're not selling and promoting, well, what are you doing to promote your business? So that was obviously something that would have hurt because you were giving, you're giving, and you are freely giving out of pure expression of your heart. Yeah, how did you navigate that situation? And what did you learn from that experience?
Yeah, so just for the story for the audience is that I had literally posted on social media a week before this post that you're talking about saying, I've just created a ebook called Wealth Codes. I'm giving it away for free at the moment to my community. Let me know if you want a copy. And so obviously you get lots of people commenting saying, yes, I want it, I want it, I want it. And so this person downloaded the book and read it, and then came back to me a week later and just said, got absolutely no value from your book. You're a con artist, and all you did was sell your program. And it did really hurt because I actually feel like I actually do too much free content. I do so many free workshops. And I create so many lead magnets. And I also price all of my courses and shows really reasonably because a huge part of my passion is for those romantic celebrity money archetypes out there to not get themselves into $109,000 of debt like I did by spending so much money on personal development. I feel like everything is really fairly priced.
Yeah, you're a
And
giver.
I feel like, yeah, it really hurt because she said the word con artist.
Which is
And
so not true.
that just felt really, really difficult. And then she went on to say that she doesn't think I'm going to be a good mother because I'm spending all of my time promoting my performing and putting my performing out there on social media. And so it was really hard to hear because there's obviously a part of me that has a fear of that I will be a not present mum because I'm so passionate about what I do. And there is a part of me that is like in the past, because I've been an entrepreneur since I was eight, not only busking, but part of my story is like I had a dance school for 6, 7 years and I had an acting school for 6, 7 years. I've run many businesses and I can definitely see out of being very naive, having business at a really young age, there were things that I did that were really dodgy that I didn't even realize were dodgy because I was so innocent and young and didn't know what I was doing and wasn't tapped into my truth at all. And so I think it really hits because when someone says something to you that's actually maybe a truth from your past or a fear within you. And so that was the first step for me, was to really go within and ask myself, well, where have I been a con artist in my life and where do I have these fears? And then once I dissolved that fear within me, I was like, well, actually, let's look at what she's saying. She's saying that it's not a good thing that I promoted my book and that I promoted my course in my book. And I said to myself, well, I've had anyone else say this to me. And I'm like, well, no. Have I had all these other people tell me how valuable the book is and how valuable the course is? Yes, I've had so many amazing testimonials. Am I really going to put my focus on this one person who's obviously in a really desperate situation looking for a quick fix? And that's the other thing is with money work, is I think a lot of people think, and this is even just obviously in business, is that you get one lead magnet, you get one free training, and then all of your problems are fixed. But that isn't reality. The reality is that when a business gives you a lead magnet, it's a teaser to their work. They're giving you information that, yes, will help, but it's usually not all the pieces because usually you need a lot more time to integrate those pieces. And I find that if people don't actually invest their money into what they want to work towards, they're not going to be as serious about it. And so I am really passionate about people paying money and investing in themselves. And that's another reason why I've created as an evergreen program, because I'm not there live and all the trainings are recorded and you have email access to me, it means that I can price it so much lower. So then so many more people can actually afford it. And that was the reason why I created it like that, because I feel like everyone could afford my program. Well, when I was running it live and they were getting me for 8 weeks live energy Facebook group, yes, that was really valuable as well, but not many people as much could afford to pay for it because it was a program about money and people didn't have the money to invest in the money program. And so I thought to myself, this is a bit different to a business course or a relationship course or another niche. My actual product is for people who could be similar to me that are in debt and finding it that they've got lots of challenges with money. And so I'm like, I want to be able to price it in a way that feels good. And that was the thing, was I'd done so much consideration of all of these people, and to have then someone turn around and say something so harsh, and especially saying that I would be a bad mum
That was very
because
personal.
I put that out, and I share very honestly online that I am very nervous about becoming a mum and my journey towards parenthood. And I just don't feel like anyone has the right to be able to DM you. So I
Wow.
also learned, that you've got this block button and you can block people. And I'm a big people pleaser. And because this is a person that I would probably see in my outer community at either a party or somewhere at some point, if I found it really hard. But I literally just said like quite nice things back. Like I didn't bite back at them because I could tell that it was all coming from a hurt place. But I just said, I don't feel like my content is serving you and it's triggering you. So we're no longer going to be following each other on social media, and
On you.
then blocked them. And so it felt really good to be just in my power and be able to own my boundaries. Now, I know a lot of people are just like, oh, yeah, you just block them. But I found it really hard because I'm actually a person I knew.
It's great that you didn't bite back because a lot of people would react and then go into their hurt place. And then it's like two hurt people talking to each other, which never.
Well, what's interesting is actually when you come back with kindness, if someone is really deeply triggered, it actually makes them even more angry because they're wanting a fight. They
Yeah.
actually want you to fight you back, and I wasn't willing to have the fight. So I actually came back with loving kindness and a reasonable response, and she didn't like that at all. And I know from the past when I've had experiences with people on social media messaging me, and I can tell when they want to fight. And I'm just like, I'm not going to give you your fight. You can find someone else to have that fight with, or go to the gym and put on some gloves, because I'm not willing to be your punching bag. And so it's been so liberating. I also saw it as a chance to really go within and look at some of my shadows, but also just look at regulating my nervous system because I am really trying to expand my reach and I'm starting more sort of new social media strategies. I've never really been that big on Instagram. I've always been a real Facebook girl, but I'm moving a lot of content to Instagram and looking to really grow. And I'm like, okay, because I'm standing more in my shine. And thriving with the Shine and Thriving podcast, I'm going to probably get some hit back. And that's exactly what happened. And so in that situation, when you're putting yourself out there, you're shining your light, you have to have the tools to regulate your nervous system and look after yourself. And you need to have that inner circle of people that have your back. And so they were the people that, even though I did share the story on social media, I turned straight to my inner community and I asked for support and I didn't try and be all strong and it didn't affect me because it did. And so I asked for help and support. And I think that is the power of vulnerability when you can actually say, look, I'm feeling a bit ashamed that I'm feeling so triggered by this. I just would really love some support. And just being able to talk it out with people, it really, really helped.
Oh my
And
goodness, I totally agree. Yeah, it's so powerful when you can be like just raw and real with, for me, it's my girlfriends. It's the people that will happily say, Phoebe, you don't have to be diplomatic. You can swear. And if you want to go and get drunk, which is not my style, but they'll say, like, if you want to go and get drunk, let's go and get some wine and do it and like let it out. And I just find that is. Like, I just had shivers when you said having your support network because if I don't think I would be able to be the person who I am right now, right in this very moment, if it wasn't for my support network. I think I would be feeling like, yeah, just feeling a bit beaten up. So that's definitely one key that you've just hit the nail on the head. And for any of the listeners, I do highly encourage, as I always do in all my podcast episodes, that you reach out to your network, to the safe people in your life, or a therapist, or someone that you trust in these moments, especially when you are feeling triggered. All right, so let's get to our rapid fire questions because I'm excited
love
to get to know
anything
what.
that game show feel.
That's exactly right. All right, Claire. So, question number one that I have for you is, if there was one single thing that you cannot live a day without, whether it's a physical object or something non-physical, what would it be?
Singing.
What or who inspires you to do what you do today?
My little girl within me.
Yeah, beautiful. And where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What do you want to have accomplished, or who do you want to be?
I want to be who I am, but just a more expanded version of that. I want to be speaking and performing on bigger stages. I want to be impacting more people. I want to be traveling more. And I want to be traveling with my family and my friends. And so I want to have my partner. I want to have our baby that is hopefully on the way. And I want to be able to travel with, the people that mean the most to me. And I feel like I am living that. I have amazing friends and family that come on tour with me and that feels amazing. But I think we're always wanting to go to the next level of that. And so for me, it is just bigger stages, bigger audiences, and more support. And so, yeah, just putting out for more support for my work.
Beautiful. I'm really hoping to see that for you as well. Claire, what's one big takeaway that you've had recently that has changed the way you show up or changed the way you see the world?
Well, I think it's just going back to this story with being told that I would be a bad mum for being my authentic self. And I'm like, no, like I'm going to be the best mum because I am my authentic self. And what makes a good mum? It's like, what makes a good business person? What makes a good speaker, a performer, a coach? Like, we all have our different flavors and we all have our different niches. And I feel like that my baby spirit is going to come and Ozzy and I will be the perfect parents for our particular baby. And I just trust that now. And I feel like being told that I'm going to be a bad mum put such a fire up my bum. And like, no, I'm going to be an amazing mum. And so for me, that's really big because I've been so much doubting my ability as a mum because I'm also just a lot more emotional and creative than I am practical. And so feeling like, oh my goodness, I won't be able to change a nappy or I mean, I only just learned how to make a cup of tea a few years ago. I mean, I'm not the most practical person out there, but I've realized that I'm going to have the right codes for my baby. So
Yeah,
feel that my baby is also going to teach me a lot of things.
I love that she has enabled you and gifted you with this new insight, and you are trusting like that. That has, I'm sure, that will change the game and has dissolved something that's leading you closer to getting that. And I can't wait to see you as a mum. I'm excited to see what Claire D does as a mum because it's going to enable other women to juggle business and loving their lives and having fun and motherhood, which is possible.
Yeah, I just really want to believe that we can have it all. And obviously, there's seasons for things. Like, obviously, at the moment I've just popped out a baby, I'm probably not going to be showing up in my business in the exact same way. But I really believe that if we keep following our heart and what our heart wants to create, and we've got this whole range of goals within our heart, not just around business, but with spirituality and friendship and family and holidays and where we want to live. And I feel like when we're following the truth of what we want to create, we can have it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And last rapid fire question is, if you could leave the world with one message, what would it be?
Well, I've always said live your truth and be authentic because my story of having Poland syndrome and transforming that shame into beauty, into success, into inspiration has been the most fulfilling thing that I've done in my life. And living my truth of being a performer, being a speaker, being a writer, because that's true for me. And I haven't gone and lived the Hollywood path that lots of friends that I grew up with wanting to be actors went to New York or went to London. And I'm just following the truth of my career. And I feel like the more that I'm following that, the more fulfilled I feel, the more happy I feel. And so, yeah, I feel like living your truth is the secret ingredient to being happy.
Oh, thank you so much. That has been beautiful. And for those that are listening, please make sure that if you've enjoyed this podcast episode, that you either let us know or if you feel like it, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I hope that you're feeling inspired and uplifted after hearing what Claire has shared. And Claire, thank you so much for all your little gifts of insights and your story and your vulnerability and everything that you do. And I am certain that, the next time we speak, there's going to be even more growth. And hopefully, you would have gotten even closer to reaching your 5-year goal.
Well, Phoebe, I want to say thank you so much to you and for who you are and for following your heart and creating this podcast and everything that you give to your clients and to your community. I feel really, really honored to have been invited to be on your podcast and get this chance to be able to connect with your audience. And I would love to continue the conversation either on Instagram. Exactly, you could share a story and tag both Phoebe and myself in it. And yeah, feel free to connect in any way, and I would love to continue the conversation.
Yeah, for those that have related to any of the stuff that we've talked about, make sure that you leave your story, a little bit of a snippet of what you've been through as well, and share that on social media. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, TikTok for me as well, and LinkedIn. And obviously, snippets of this show is going to be on all of those platforms as well as YouTube. So make sure that you tune into the YouTube episode so that you can watch and really feel part of the show. Claire, once again, thank you so much. It's been so lovely to talk and to catch up. And I cannot wait to speak to you again soon. And thank you again for the listeners. We can't wait for the next episode. I look forward to seeing you guys thrive and shine. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.